Hey, Mallory, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you coming on. It's been a little bit of while since we've last spoken. I'm curious what you've been up to.
Oh, had Christmas, had the holidays, hit 1 year mark at Nihilist, which is
Oh, congrats.
crazy. Fastest year. Things are good. Things are good.
I love it.
Oh, and we got a puppy.
Oh, tell me about the puppy.
Oh, she is an adventure. Her name is Penny. She's a Vizsla and she's crazy.
No, I love that. Very cool. Well, congrats on the puppy. Congrats on the new year and on the 1 year at Nihilist. So, for those who don't know, I'm joined by Mallory Lee, the VP of Operations at Nihilist, and we're going to talk all things customer journey, professional journey. So, I'm really excited to get into it. So, before we jump right in, I'd be curious if you can give yourself an introduction for those who are listening.
Yeah, thank you. So I am Mallory. I have a marketing background, but I've always been in B2B technology for really my entire career. So that's a little bit unique. My first job out of school was at ExactTarget, and I was an analyst and just running Salesforce reports all day. Turned that into marketing operations career, and then eventually moved into revenue operations. And now also adding on a little bit of the business operations to round it out. It's been really exciting. It's been fun.
That's tremendous. So your background kind of goes against the meme that revenue operations is just sales operations rebranded. I'd be curious from
Yes.
your point of view, is marketing operations meant to go into revenue operations? Why is it uncommon? I'm curious about your journey.
Yeah, I think it's not as common as it should be. I also think it depends a little bit on the size and scale of the company, but my personal opinion, which of course is, got some bias, but I think being in marketing operations is the perfect platform to launch into revenue operations. And part of the reason for that is because marketers, they are forced to be so cross-functional. It's in their DNA pretty much from the beginning. They're always connecting with the customer team, sending customer emails and doing customer retention activities, partnering with sales and helping them on big deals and doing things like account-based marketing. So you already know how to work with all of the people, and hopefully you have some of those great relationships in place as a marketer, to be influential within your business. And so from there, launching into a more holistic revenue operations role, I think is a great way to evolve that career. Some people, I think they'd rather go on and be a CMO, which I think is also perfectly, possible and relevant. Some people want to stay in marketing ops forever and just keep getting into bigger businesses and more complex global teams, which I think is also something that works well for, great big companies where they might never bring every single ops team together. But for that sweet spot where you're kind of smaller in the middle, you want the unified operations. I think starting out with the marketing foundation is a really cool way to move into RevOps.
So I don't think I'm known for like hot takes, but I will say this. When I lost my marketing operations person and I had to step in, I thought I was terrible. And then when I went on vacation and I thought my marketing operations person pitched in for covering my sales operations duties, I thought they performed admirably. I think it's not necessarily an easy two-way street. I think it's easier to go from marketing ops to cover sales ops and much, much harder to cover sales ops to marketing ops. And that's because, in my opinion, the campaign execution operations are relentless. And you have multiple campaigns stacking on top of each other with different timelines and needing to know the context of the why behind all those campaigns. That was very maddening and very difficult. I will say, my hats are off to all the marketing operators out there.
There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, especially once you bring in those campaign operations that you're talking about. But even just if you think about sales and marketing alignment, there are no successful marketers out there who don't partner well with sales. You can drive all the leads you want. You can have the best website in the world. But if you don't have that sales and marketing partnership, you're not going to be effective and you're not going to bring in the revenue that you need. So I think being able to just form those relationships and put yourself in someone else's shoes, especially when it comes to understanding what salespeople are going through, is really important. And so I already had that like sales and marketing alignment value before I ever got into revenue operations. And learning the nuts and bolts of a comp plan is not that hard to do. It's one more thing to add on to the resume, but understanding how to partner with people and like what motivates them and how to make them successful, that's, the secret sauce of a comp plan.
So I think one of the best ways to complete a race is to finish, one step at a time from the beginning to the end. And with marketing operations, you really truly do start at the beginning. And part of it is really empathizing both internally and externally the journey of both seller and buyer. And more recently, you and I have been discussing the concept of a customer journey and some of the battles that you've had internally to try to bring that to life. What does that mean to help communicate the customer journey to, the folks that you work with, and then what tools or reports or data do you need to make that happen?
Yeah, I think there's a whole host of things that are needed, and the list is endless. So I think the risk that you take is measuring 800 things when 200 will do. Finding which metrics are the most impactful is always a difficult thing. But as a marketer, we're very obsessed with the communications. What are we saying to the customer? How are they feeling in this moment? What part of the buying journey are they in? Lots of the buyer's journey happens kind of without us now, right? Because they're shopping online, they're doing the review sites, they're doing all the things. At Nihilist, we have a product-led motion where people can try the product for free. They can buy it without ever speaking to us. And they're developers, and sometimes they don't want to talk to us. So that is, it's a whole nother world, like putting yourself in the customer's shoes. Communicating them with them the way that they want to be talked to is really important, I think. And it takes a lot of time to understand that and study it. So I think that you have to have really tight person data right up front to understand who is the persona that we're dealing with here. Is this a CTO of a big company who, really wants to see all the research and all the case studies and wants a lot of documentation? Like that persona is very different than the developer who's coding on a Saturday, trying to catch up, just wants some peace and quiet to sit there and build something. Those are two very different leads. And so having the data right up front about who that person is really important. And then understanding what kind of offers they like to respond to is the best way for us to give them that next best offer. We're using, Marketo and Drift on the website. And then we've got our own product as a tool. We've recently started mapping in all of our product events through segment so that we can start to see exactly what people are doing in the Nihilist dashboard. That's been really cool. We have a pretty simple onboarding form where we ask people what they're trying to achieve. And that's surprisingly well received. The best prospects are going to fill that out. And the people with the highest intent, I think that onboarding form shows them that we understand what they're doing and we're asking them intelligent questions that they don't mind answering. So that's been really fun to just see, what people tell us as they come in. And then they get to choose whether or not they should talk with a salesperson or if they want to be on their own. And we do have a traditional sales team. We were sales-led before we were product-led. So we still have both going on. So plenty of interaction within the CRM and within Salesforce and lots of metrics along the way there. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be all about that customer retention and the value that people are getting and how they're using the product. So of all the things that I am happy to have, I think product usage information is what I'm the happiest to have, especially because it's not always so easy to get, depending on your business model and everything.
I think traditionally it has been the hardest data to get the product usage metrics and then translating it to make sense. But I will say this, when I'm shopping for tools nowadays, I'm not necessarily trying to go off the reservation so that no one can track me. It's just that there are better places for me to go engage in buyer gossip. I'm going to go into communities. I'm going to text a few peers. I'm going to go behind the scenes on LinkedIn, ask one for one to somebody. And none of that is tracked these days. And so I think folks might use the term dark funnel or dark social, things like that. And then it really is true. It's dark. You have no visibility into it. But getting once you land on your radar, and I think the good thing that what you're talking about is trying to capture all the different sensors out there to figure out when someone is landing on your shores. and then trying to make sense of, what they're doing and how you can engage with them and using those offers to bring them to the table. I think that's hugely important. Now, I think that all of this sounds like a lot of hard work personally. And, I know you have a team and you're very vocal about praising some of the project and the work that you've done with your team. I'm curious about, when you think about building a team, what skills, what kind of culture are you typically trying to build?
It's a good question. It's hard to it's not always easy to inherit a team, right? So sometimes you join a company and you're inheriting a strong team. Sometimes you're the first person, you're building a team from scratch. I think a lot of those dynamics can be flexible based on the situation that you get into. I've just been like so incredibly lucky that the team that was already at Nihilist was so strong and they just get it. And so, really honestly, it was the first time as a leader that I came into a business and I felt comfortable delegating because I was not the person who built up the team and I wasn't the person who built up that level of intimacy with like knowing everything. And I think in the past, when I've been the builder of the team, I knew everyone's jobs better than they knew them in the beginning because I was bringing them in and training them. And it's very hard to give up the reins of control in that scenario. But when you are joining and people already have this expertise, there's a freedom of like, oh, you are really good at this. And I'm just going to like be here to help you and remove your blockers. And I'm going to continue to delegate. And it's been magical. So I think part of the equation there was just people already being in some really cool roles before I joined. But I'm a big believer in just being an asset for your team and helping people get things done and making them feel like they know what needs to get done. So it's been great.
That's awesome. It reminds me of the is it Seven Habits of Highly Effective People when Gabby talks about the concept of moving from dependent to independent. But it sounds like what you're working on is that third level where you have a team of independents that are interdependent. That is amazing. I'm hugely appreciative of what you're saying about your team. One last question for you, by the way, and I ask this
Sure.
for all the guests, at least starting in 2024. What's a moment of impact or change that you are extremely proud of, either personally or professionally?
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one. I think anything that happens where you get a chance to open people's eyes and see them think differently about something is really helpful. And it makes you kind of see it come to life. You see the light bulb come on somebody's face when you talk about something. And so recently I was chatting with my friend Sangram, worked with him at Terminus, and we were reminiscing a little bit on just how it was when I joined Terminus and how things evolved. We put together kind of an executive level scorecard that we reviewed every week as an executive team. And the way that he tells it is that in the beginning, before I joined Terminus, they were a group of functional leaders that were getting together every week to talk about what was going on. And it was very, who moved my cheese kind of style. And he said that when I joined and when we started to all look at the same information and have that scorecard view and have a unified conversation, he felt like they were able to become more business leaders. And they weren't necessarily fighting for their function because I was there to objectively represent what the data was for each team. It was more about solving problems together and, really uniting as like a leadership team to do that. So that was a pretty cool compliment, the way that he described that. And I hadn't thought about it exactly that way, but I do think that is one of the cool things that RevOps can offer for a business is to remove the burden of me feeling like I have to defend my department because someone else is bringing that data for me. It's neither good nor bad. It's just data. And so now we can all react to it together, versus bringing your own report, trying to stand up for your team, trying to prove that you're working hard. You don't have to play that game as much, I guess.
I love that. As opposed to a team of rivals, it's a harmonious team working together towards a common outcome. Well, Mallory, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you. And I'm curious how folks can connect with you.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. LinkedIn is fine. I recently had a website snafu, so LinkedIn is all I've got right now.
Okay, you're gonna have to tell me more about the website meltdown.
I
All right, well, thanks again, Mallory.
Thank you. Yeah, good to see you.